Okay, that's about enough of that. It is Tuesday. It is 4:30 in the afternoon Pacific time, which means it is time for In the Cage with Bards, Vancouver's preeminent show dedicated to the sport of mixed martial arts. Today is a packed show. I'm even going to run a little bit over time, thanks to Wilson Wong on the sports show for allowing me to steal some of his time. But hey, we're all brothers here, right? Oh, and by the way, until Randy Quaid mentions that I'm involved in a conspiracy, that I'm sorry, I couldn't get through that without laughing. If Randy Quaid intimates that I'm involved in a conspiracy to kill him, I am still Carlin Bardsley. The big news from the UFC is that they are absorbing the WEC into the main promotion. The WEC had been home to the lighter weight divisions, 155, 145, and 135 pounds. And now those lighter weight fighters, including stars Jose Aldo, Uriah Faber, and Miguel Torres, along with Canadian standards Mark Hominick and Chris Horodecki, will compete directly under the UFC banner. The first fight will be Jose Aldo, the WEC and now UFC featherweight champion, taking on Josh Grispy for that title at UFC 125 on January the 1st. Also, this Saturday night in Victoria, Armageddon Fighting Championship presents AFC 4 Revelation at Bear Mountain Arena. The event is headlined by grappling legend Robert Drysdale, having his second career MMA fight when he takes on Clay Davidson. Drysdale made his MMA debut at the last AFC card and won quickly with a first-round arm triangle choke. The Ground Wizard will be looking to do the same against Davidson. Also on the card in middleweight action, Nanaimo's own Nick Hinchliffe returns to the promotion to take on Mike Hackert. Hinchliffe's last fight for the promotion was a submission loss to UFC veteran and friend of the show Caleb Starnes before rebounding in September with a first-round sub-victory at the Playboy Mansion of all places. Despite a lack of exotic locale and bunnies, we'll see what Hinchliffe has in store for Hackert. Hinchliffe actually has a great video fight diary blog, whatever you want to call it, available on MMACanada.net right now. It's actually a really, really good setup and a really good site, so I highly recommend you check it out. I'm going to cut things short right now, as directly after the break here, we're going to be joined by former Vancouver Athletic Commission Chairman Mirko Mladenovic, who is going to give us the inside scoop on his dismissal from the commission and the ongoing tale of woe that is mixed martial arts against Vancouver City Hall. The hits just keep on coming, it seems like. Going into that break, we're going to hear the song Vancouver, BC by the Smugglers, because that's what Mirko wants to hear. Who am I to say no?
Run, run, tis the night. La, la, Vancouver, Vancouver is my hometown.
Vancouver, BC.
Oh, will the sun don't shine and the rain goes pour down.
Club.
No Joey Clark.
Oh,
there's drunken
Fishes and Drugs.
Fishes and Drugs.
Mulligan.
Ah, Mulligan. Ah, rah, rah.
UBC Rec is everything that is recreation on campus. No matter how you play, UBC Rec is your resource for fun activities. This student program is operated by over 140 volunteers, and it is the largest intramural recreation organization in Canada. Programs cover fitness, instructional classes, outdoor recreation, drop-in sports, special events, small tournaments, and intramural leagues. All the registration information is available in the Student Recreation Center or online at rec.ubc.ca. UBC Rec, how do you play?
Hey there, everybody. I'm Boss Rudin, a.k.a. El Wapo. Yep, yep, that means the pretty one. You are listening to In the Cage with Bards.
Welcome, everyone, back to In the Cage with Bards here on 101.9 CITR. We are joined today by the former chairman of the Vancouver Athletic Commission, Mirko Mladenovic. How are you today, Mirko?
Good, Carlin. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thank you for joining me. I appreciate it. Before we get to the meat and potatoes of this, bring us up to speed here. How did you become involved with the Vancouver Athletic Commission as a member and ultimately its chairman?
Great. Well, the Vancouver Athletic Commission is 65 years old this year. In 65 years, the Athletic Commission has never had an instance of serious injury or death up until just a few years ago. We had been sanctioning, or the Athletic Commission had been sanctioning, several pancreation events. The majority of the history of the Vancouver Athletic Commission was formed primarily to sanction boxing and professional wrestling over the years, and so we started sanctioning the pancreation events, and there were no problems until there was the commission sanctioned a bulldog fight over at the PNE,
right?
And that caught the attention of counselors who sit on the board of the PNE. And at that time, they called a moratorium. Also, at that time, it was recommended to me to that I become a member of the Athletic Commission. And I guess you could say I'm the father of the Athletic Commission is George Angelo Mattis. And I guess you could say he's my mentor in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I came onto the commission just after the moratorium came into effect. So at that time, we had five members who had, 30 years experience each. And at that time, since the moratorium came into effect, those commissioners had resigned because of the interference of city council. We lost five commissioners with all those years of experience, and three chairmen. One commissioner, our last chairman before me, was not reappointed. And so I sort of came on at a bad time, but I was hopeful that the moratorium would be lifted in short measure. It was after I had served on the commission for 2 years. So in that period of time, we didn't, you know, we sanctioned only a small amount of professional wrestling events. So, you know, in that way, it was, you know, disappointing. But that's my background is primarily a boxing. I'm a certified boxing referee and judge.
The story goes is that the city was about to turn down a UFC event before you approved it. Is that the case?
I think that what they wanted to do was make the or cause the event. What they were doing was they were changing our conditions and procedures to lengthen the time it would take to sanction an event. So if it came down, it was coming very close to the drop dead date for the event. So by lengthening the time it would take to approve the event, we might not be able to approve the event.
So they were hoping it would die on the vine, so to speak.
I think what the city was trying to do was create a situation where the event couldn't take place, but then the commission would take the blame for it. They would, the time it would take to sanction event, they would slow it down so that we couldn't approve the event, and then by that time, they would simply say that, we wanted the event, but you know it's the commission's fault, right? You know, they caused it. Because of their conditions and their procedures, the event couldn't happen, right? Or, well, it was the commission asking for this insurance, and the high levels of insurance. This wasn't the case. But I wanted to make sure that this event would take place, and so I, when I there was a, it came to a point where. Mark Ratner from USC said to me, Mirko, this the negotiations aren't going very well. One of the things that the city was asking for early on was that mandatory CAT scans and MRIs. For example, if a fighter lost by a submission, armbar, for example, that it would be a mandatory CAT scan of the brain. This is not something that the commission would want or the promotion would want because it's
and it's not something that's asked for by other athletic commissions too.
Mandatory for everybody, nobody does that.
No.
And obviously, this is unnecessary radiation to the brain and things of this nature. Also, it's the cost is it would be very prohibitive. So I think that was a major stumbling block. Of course, we weren't privy to a lot of the negotiations. But I was aware of that. So I said to them, listen, I'm going to approve your event. And I found scheduled a meeting where the chief licensing officer wasn't able to attend. And I called that meeting and we approved the event. Now, this is, of course, we approved the event. We approved the promoter's license so that the promotion was licensed with the city. And the event was approved. So, of course, this is legally binding, right? There's a cash exchange. So I really made sure that the city could not turn down this event later than that.
Okay. Now, the city originally proposed $12 million in insurance, a number that you wanted to see reduced to $5 million to be more in line with what other athletic commissions require of a combat sports event. Is that correct?
The city, in their report, their economic impact report, which is really another liability report, which came in December, the staff recommended the $5 million insurance. That was what was voted upon. That was what was agreed. There was no call for, one of the councilors wanted $10 million insurance. That was voted down. But what's widely reported in the media as being $12 million is simply incorrect. The amount of insurance that the promotion was required to carry is substantially greater than that.
And I can't tell you what that amount was because there was a legal agreement between the city and the promotion. But I can tell you how much the insurance cost. And the insurance cost, because you know someone from the promotion told me how much it cost, and the insurance cost around $30,000. Okay, well, if the insurance for the event was $12 million, well, that would be about $5,000. So that gives you some kind of idea of the level of insurance that we're talking about.
Why do you figure that they wanted so much insurance on the event? Is there any other reason to demand these exorbitant measures than outright trying to kill the event?
I think they want to make it very difficult for promotions to have the combat sports in the city of Vancouver. And not just pancreation events, but all combat sports. Pancreation events, boxing, kickboxing, even professional wrestling is being asked to meet these standards. And because of that, recently a WWE event that was scheduled for October had to be canceled because they were demanding, first of all, there was a seat tax increase that was attached to a bylaw change which allowed us to sanction pancreation events. This was actually another issue because, well, when did this bylaw change go into effect? Well, it went into effect in late April, right? Council voted to approve the trial period in December, right? Well, why did it take so long to do this, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, if it's approved in April, well, the event is in June. You know, that wouldn't have given us enough time to start the sanctioning process, right? So, if they wanted to give us the authority to sanction these events, well, it should have been in December, along with that vote. But that didn't happen. It only happened after the event was inevitable, and of course, at that time, they also secretly, basically. Increase the seat tax for professional wrestling to $1. Previously, it had been 10 cents. It needed to go up a little bit. We recommended 30 cents, which is on par with the data. Everyone on council voted us down in favor of the city manager's position and the staff's position. So, in that end, of course, there's no way that a pro wrestling promotion like that is going to pay this kind of rate and cause the event to go to Kennewick, Washington. Now, I'm not sure how big Kennewick, Washington is, but I think it's maybe a little bit bigger than Cloverdale. So, that's the kind of city that we lost this event to, so, directly because of something that the city staff recommended.
Well, is there any other reason for them to make these recommendations other than to drive away combat sports? You yourself said you wanted to bring the seat tax in line with what Nevada has. Is there another reason to ask that other 70% other than to discourage the event from happening to begin with?
Well, they'll tell you that it's to fund the activities of the commission, right? Well, because the commission needs money to provide this service and everything like this. Well, they drove the event away. So the money that the commission would have received are, for example, we sanctioned a professional wrestling event, or the WWE event last year, with the 10-cent tax and all the other licenses. It was, we got regular $3,000 out of that. It's what the commission's been living off of for the past 20 years because we haven't had too many big competitive combat sports events. So if we raise the seat tax up to 30 cents, that would have been $5,000 or so. So we lost all that money. So, it seems to me that we just don't want any of these the combat sports taking place in the city.
Getting back to the UFC event, you mentioned Mark Ratner's name a couple of times. He's formerly of the Nevada State Athletic Commission, now the UFC Vice President of Regulatory Affairs. How influential was he in ultimately making sure that the UFC show did happen?
I think that Mark Ratner and the lawyers at the UFC were very persistent and very aggressive with the city. And I think that the city is very frightened of lawsuits. I think that there's a big economic crisis in the city of Vancouver right now. And, well, one of the ways that you would reduce costs to the city is to eliminate lawsuits. So the city is very concerned about liability issues right now. They don't want to get involved in events that might cause a lawsuit to the city. Mark Ratner, very persistent, lawyers in UFC, all really great people, and helped the commission immensely.
Is it true that there was squabbling between city staffers and the commission right up to the night before the event?
The insurance, UFC insurance, let me show you how difficult it was to get this level of insurance. You know, when I tell promoters confidentially how much the insurance was, you know, they'd say to me, well, I wouldn't even know where to get that level of insurance. And the insurance didn't come through until just the night before the event, I think. And it was the day of the weigh-in. The insurance finally came in, and the week before the weigh-in, I found out that they were the chief licensing officer was requiring for the weigh-in to be licensed. So for 3 months, it was, you know, some new condition coming down from the city every single day.
Well, you know, we keep mentioning the two-year trial. With this, you know, supposedly being open, you know, the city being open to MMA for the sport 2 years to study it or whatever whatever they say they're doing, why are no other promotions being able to run shows? The P&E specifically, we've mentioned, has been targeted by several promotions to no avail.
Right. Well, we're just about in November right now, and so we've had an entire year where the Athletic Commission could have sanctioned any combat sports. And, you know, we've only had the one event. So it's a extremely high levels of insurance. Part of, you know, one of the things that city staff placed inside our conditions and procedures was a condition that the insurance for the event be $5 million or up to whatever the city manager requests. So the city manager could say that the insurance is, you know, $20 million or more. And they could change it at any time. It could be the day before the event and they could say, you know what, we don't have enough insurance for it from you. So that's very dangerous for any promotion. You know, it's not stable, and the high costs to begin with. You know, you've got a seat tax, which is, you know, somewhat high,
mm-hmm.
and then you have insurance, which are already at a very high level, and actually, because there's a confidentiality agreement with the UFC, you can't even find out what your insurance should be in a way. Right, so if I'm a promotion and I go to the city and I ask them, well, what's my insurance going to be? They can't tell you because it has to be at the same level as the UFC insurance, and they don't want that information getting out. And so it becomes very difficult like this. I actually, when the event looked like it was in danger at one point, you know, I brought in a legal friend to a meeting. And we set the insurance at $5 million. Okay. At that time, you know, the chief licensing officer was there, and I could see he was very nervous. And he got on his BlackBerry, and he immediately called up the city manager. And the city manager came into our meeting, and she said, "Commission, if you do this, if you tie my hands, then I will take away your indemnity." And there.
therefore you all will be legally responsible for anything that happens at that event. We will not give you protection from lawsuits. Of course, my legal friend told me no. That's a lie. That's not going to happen. She can't do that. At the next meeting after I set that level of insurance, the chief licensing officer put down those conditions again. He said, "Commission, I want you to approve this." And I said, "Of course, no way." But my other commissioners, they were obviously bullied into saying yes to this, and of course they were worried about this our indemnity being removed, and so they voted to accept that condition in our conditions and procedures, which remains on the books to this day, and really needs to be eliminated for any other combat sports to happen in the city.
What is your opinion on, you've kind of alluded to him a couple of times now, not by name, Assistant Director of Licensing Tom Hamill. He's been described as an opponent of MMA in the city, and he's been name-checked specifically by MFC promoter Mark Pavlich as someone who's given him the runaround and caused him to give up on running shows here.
If people tell me the chief licensing manager is, they say to me, he's really a nice guy, but he's just doing his job. And my relationship with him at first, before I understood his agenda, was good. I had a good relationship with him, but when I found out what he was doing, he quickly became, my adversary, and so I fought him on all of these issues as hard as I could. I think that's partially why I was dismissed. Well, I fought all of the upper management, city staff, the city of Vancouver on this issue. Do I think that he is personally, anti-combat sports? I don't know. I think that he is, I think that a lot of people at City Hall, they're like the ancient mandarins. They're stealing rice from the emperor while the emperor isn't looking. They're there to, they're going to protect their pork barrel jobs as hard as they have to, and they'll do whatever they have to keep those jobs. So even if it means doing something that's wrong or evil, it doesn't matter to them. They have an agenda.
In that vein, city manager, I mentioned a few times now, of course, Penny Ballum. How specifically did you feel that she threatened the autonomy of the Athletic Commission?
Well, clearly, she was. There were orders for change our conditions and procedures. These reports that came into council, we had no involvement really in those. We were not consulted. And this is the thing about the commission is the Athletic Commission is a regulatory body, but the city doesn't regard it as a regulatory body. Regards it as an advisory body. They feel that we shouldn't be making we shouldn't be making rules or recommendations. We should only be recommending things to council to have them decide. That has not been the history of the Athletic Commission. We've had, for 65 years, we've had full authority over combat sports in the city, no interference, limited interference. Our last chief licensing officer who quit or was dismissed after the election, I saw him twice. He came into a couple of meetings, didn't say anything, and he was listening to what happened, what we were doing, and he would leave that after a while. Didn't bother us, didn't interfere, didn't do anything like that at all. And so obviously the current city staff has worked to change our conditions and procedures and to make it so that the city manager decides a number of these conditions and procedures, and also, what I was saying was that our doctor resigned, so that was and because they were trying to make him into an observer, they wanted the promotion to be in charge of the medical staff. Of course, that was unacceptable. The athletic commission, the commission's doctor, must be the supreme authority for all medical matters in the event. You can't put the promotion's doctor in charge of the event because the promotion has a vested interest in having the fights continue, even if a fighter might be injured or not capable of fighting. And so, commission's doctor is impartial, of course. There was that, and of course, if you see, they wanted to remove us from a lot of the aspects of sanction. They wanted to make it so that we weren't selecting who the referees were. They wanted to make sure that we weren't selecting who the judges were, and that if it was up to the city, their idea of sanction would be that we were watching the event from the stands with a hot dog and beer in our hands.
How do you respond to City Hall's version of the events that you were removed from the Athletic Commission for breach of the code of conduct?
Well, I mean, they used an excuse to get rid of me. Clearly, I was causing trouble for the upper management of City Hall. I was opposing them, in every way that I could, because their actions were damaging to combat sports, and their actions were, damaging to allegedly, I have to say, damaging to the commission. And so obviously they had to get rid of their opposition. And it was reported recently in Vancouver Magazine, a reporter doing an interview with the mayor's secretary, saying that I had already been replaced with Dave Rudberg, the current chairman, 2 days before I had an opportunity to speak on my behalf at City Council. So I took the day off of work to go down there to appeal my, plead my case in front of City Council. Well, the decision had already been made. So, and I think that they had been planning that for some time. Could have been, up to a few months, there's some indication of that. So clearly, it was they were just using an excuse to any way that they could bring me up in front of City Council to have me removed.
Do you think we'll see BC adopt a provincial commission similar to the one that they have in Quebec? And if so, will that alleviate some of these issues?
We need a provincial commission. What we need is a strong athletic commission that isn't being interfered with by politicians. Can we do that with a provincial athletic commission? You see, this is the problem. Let's say you create a first of all, the city, for example, doesn't want the liability issues, right? Of course, they're talking about the commission involvement. So they would prefer that be taken over by somebody else. You want to wash their hands of it. Say you set up a provincial athletic commission. Okay, first of all, who's in charge of that provincial athletic commission? Is it going to be somebody with a background in combat sports, or is it going to be a politician? That's the first problem, because if you have a politician, then it's going to be the same thing all over again, right? Then you have a secondary problem. Many municipalities in the province don't want any combat sports in their municipalities at all. North Vancouver, for example, which got rid of their athletic commission, or Burnaby, which doesn't have an athletic commission. So say you bring in a professional combat sport into Burnaby, and then Burnaby says, well, hold on, provincial athletic commission, we don't want these fights in our community. So then you have another problem. So I think overall it would be better, but other problems may arise.
We mentioned Dave Rudberg earlier. He's the man that ultimately succeeded you as athletic commission chairman. He's known as a longtime city bureaucrat, former deputy city manager, manager of Olympic operations, and one-time city engineer. and he was parachuted in the position and is apparently a close friend of Tom Hamill's, which I didn't realize. What do you think his appointment means for combat sports in the city going forward?
Yeah, the chief licensing manager comes from engineering, the engineering department. So Dave Rudberg was his boss for many years. And it's interesting to note that some of the early construction projects, it was reported on in the media for the Olympics. Now, Dave Rudberg, of course, you know, he was put in charge of the Olympics because, you know, he's an engineer. He has an engineering background, and primarily his concerns were involved with the construction projects that were taking place. Makes sense. Of course, he has no background in sanctioning any kind of sports or management of sports or anything like that. So it's in that way, it's strange that he would be in that position. And also, some of the early projects, building projects for the Olympics, they kind of messed up on the insurance. A lot of those building projects were not insured properly, and that was widely reported in the media. And now you have this guy in charge of the commission where we had a major insurance problem.
Irony.
Right. And so now he's involved with, you know, combat sports insurance. Okay, well, so, you know, we have a chairman of the athletic commission with no background in sports that I'm aware of, and certainly no background in combat sports. And he is, you know, all of a sudden in charge of, you know, keeping these athletes safe at an event. I believe it's, you know, it's kind of unrealistic. Especially with all the intricacies of you know, what you have to do to be able to sanction your event. It's quite intensive. There's a lot of, you know, you need inspectors in the back room. You need to have them you know, watch their hands being wrapped, and you need to have appropriate judges and referees, and you need to understand the rules of combat sports. This is somebody who doesn't seem to know any of those things, in charge of the commission.
Is he only there because he's Tom Hamill's ex-boss?
Well, of course, Dave Rudberg was dismissed just before the Olympics. So he was dismissed from the position that he was holding, actually retired. Some would say forced to retire. And, of course, you know, the city manager took that position over. Some would say that the city manager's involvement with Vanock is a conflict of interest. They might be right about that. It's all very strange, isn't it?
It really is. What do you think the city's next move will be after the 2-year MMA trial period ends? Where do they go going forward?
One of the things that city staff will be trying to show city council is that the UFC event actually cost the city a lot of money. You know, of course, we know that these events come into town, and we understand that these events generate money, right? You know, there's people coming in, there's tourism, going to restaurants, and everything else. But what the city staff is going to try to say is that the event cost the city money. In the time that the city manager had to take to negotiate the event, and the time it took for the involvement of the chief licensing officer and all the lawyers of the city. Of course, they didn't need to be involved in the event. It was not requested by the commission that any of those people be involved, and they've never been involved in sanctioning any other combat sport that's ever taken place in the city of Vancouver. But they're going to take this, they're going to make this as an excuse to say that these events cost the city money. So at the end of the trial period, I think what they'll say is, you know, we tried this and it doesn't really agree with us, so we're just going to keep the moratorium after all. I think that's quite likely. Mm-hmm. Then you won't be able to have, you know, pancreation events at all after that, and who knows where it goes from there. But the first thing that they're going to do is try to say that these events are going to cost the city money, and they're going to show evidence of this and something of that nature.
What can MMA fans here in Vancouver do to improve the situation and get more MMA events here in the city? Well, what can we do on a grassroots level?
Okay, well, what we have coming up is new elections for or new appointments for commissioners on the Athletic Commission. And what everybody needs to do is apply to the Athletic Commission. And it doesn't matter if you feel that you have experience or not, if you love combat sports, just apply and get your friends to apply. And you can find the application on the City of Vancouver website under advisory bodies. Of course, the commission is a regulatory body, but the deadline is November 5th, and we need to get as many applications in there as possible. Now, normally with the Athletic Commission, commissioners tend to be reappointed. So the only way we can get new people in there who will oppose the city's anti-combat sports agenda is to get as many applications in as possible, because an avalanche of applications will force a review of the current membership. And hopefully we'll be able to get strong people who aren't going to be afraid of fighting for to protect the commission and combat sports in the city.
Well, thank you so much for joining the show and peeling back the layers on what has been a really I don't even know how to put it. It's just been one surreal turn after another in the long tail of mixed martial arts against the city of Vancouver. Mirko Mladenovic, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope you'll come back again someday.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
And we'll be back to wrap things up right after this.
Wednesday mornings on CITR from 8 to 10 a.m. It's the Suburban Jungle Show with your radio host, DJ Jack Velvet. Thrills, chills, excitement, and music. That's the Suburban Jungle Show, Wednesday mornings from 8 to 10 on 101.9 FM in Vancouver. You can also catch this show, streaming and podcast, at www.jackvelvet.net. Don't miss the Suburban Jungle Show, Wednesdays 8 to 10, 101.9 FM, CITR.
Well, that's about it for me. I want to thank Mirko Mladenovic again for joining the program and sharing his unique perspective on everything that's been going on between the city and the Athletic Commission and all that. That was actually edited down from a full 60-minute interview, but even though I ran long, I didn't think I could run that long. But I will be working on getting that online somewhere because, as I say, he's got a really unique perspective and is a very outspoken gentleman and knows his stuff. Okay, well, I guess that's it for me. Thanks again for everyone. I also want to mention that people who are interested in applying for the Vancouver Athletic Commission, like Mirko said, the links are on the Vancouver City website, or you can contact the show and I'll send you the links directly. Just get me at inthecagewithbards@hotmail.com or find us on the Facebook at www.facebook.com/inthecagewithbards. And for the uninitiated, Bards is still spelled B-A-R-D-S. I'll go out now with a nice old classic tune. It's Mother by Danzig, Gabriel Gonzaga's walkout music from his last fight. It didn't help him. He lost to Brendan Schaub and got cut by the promotion. But hey, it's still a good song. I'll see you next week.
Not to walk my way. Tell your children not to. to hear my words, what they mean, what they say, brother.